With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Movie Night podcast. My name is Jessel. This is my first time hosting it. So this is a big one for me personally. And today we have two extra special guests. We've got Luke Chandley and Simon Dowling. So how are you guys doing?
Yeah, really well. Excited to talk about the film. Excited to be on. I think it should be a good hour for people to listen to. So yeah, really excited, mate.
Yeah, me too. Very happy to be here. Thanks for asking me on, and I'm looking forward to talking about what was a very highly enjoyable film.
Well, that film is A Star Is Born. So moving forward on the Movie Night podcast, we're going to try and cover some more kind of relevant ones and be on the ball a bit more, I guess. A Star Is Born was only released a short while ago, like on basically October the 5th of 2018. And it is the directorial debut of Bradley Cooper, and also features Lady Gaga. Those are the two principal leads. Now, it is actually a remake. Well, it's pretty much, I think, the fourth remake. So originally there was like a 1937 version, then 1955, and then there was a Barbra Streisand version in the 70s. And there's been quite a long gap now, and it's popped up once more. Just before anything else, have you guys actually seen any of the previous versions?
I haven't, no. I actually, to be honest with you, I wasn't hugely familiar, like with them in general, like any of the versions, and up until quite early doors, I wasn't really that familiar with the recent one. Like, it wasn't really on my radar. I think maybe if it had been on my radar early doors, I probably would have looked back and tried to watch at least like the one with Barbra Streisand in. But no, I haven't seen any of them.
I haven't either, actually, and it's probably going to be a little bit thick, but I didn't even know that this film had been made when I went to watch it the first time, and then I just found out, I think it was the next day, that it had been remade, as you mentioned, three different times before. So I'd definitely be interested in watching them now, just to see how it, like, what they picked from them films and how Bradley kind of made his own vision of the film. So it would be, from that perspective, I definitely would be interested in looking back at them now.
Yeah, I mean, for myself, I had actually seen the original 1937 film, but none of the others, bizarrely enough. Like, the Barbra Streisand one is epic in terms of the reputation of it, and I've never seen it before. Very strange. In terms of the plot of the film, it's pretty simple. It kind of adheres to pretty much most of the ones that went before it, where you've got a star who's kind of on the wane a little bit. In this case, his name is Jackson Maine, played by Bradley Cooper. And he comes across, in this case, a waitress called Ali. And she's also a singer-songwriter. And he's amazed by her talent. And then they hit it off on a romantic way as well. And she pursues a professional music career herself, helped by Jackson Maine. And it's just about the trials and tribulations and the kind of narrative arcs of both of them and how they cross and all that kind of stuff. It's also got a quite amazing soundtrack in terms of the emotional roller coaster of the film. And it seems to have hit the mark on a popular level in certain ways. The budget of the film was only about 40 odd million, and it's already raked in well over $200 million thus far globally. And it's not even been out a month, really. So I think this is one of those ones where, what do you guys think? Do you think this is going to be one when it gets on kind of Netflix and Amazon Prime where people are going to really kind of binge watch this in terms, or just repeat watch it more?
I think I was thinking about this a little bit earlier in terms of like how it's done versus how I think it'll do maybe in like 12 months time, because when I wasn't that too interested in it, like when I kind of first heard about it, I went to see it on a little bit of like a bit of a whim, and I kind of thought, oh well, I've got nothing on, I'll go to the pictures and watch it, but I actually think the kind of like the literature and the marketing material that like was put forward for the film in terms of like posters, billboards, actually didn't reflect it like how I actually watched it in the film. I think it came across with a bit more of a sheen on the trailer and especially on the posters. But I feel like there'll be I've spoken to a few people who've kind of thought, oh, it's just like a kind of a hairy fairy, like romantic comedy or romantic film. So I do think it'll kind of go in ebbs and flows in terms of people will hear more about it, and it'll probably have quite a long kind of cinema release. And then I do think, yeah, people, whether it hits Netflix or like Sky Go or whatever, I do think it'll have quite a heavy audience. Just because I think it did seem a little unusual, a little bit off kilter, a little bit maybe compared to what it actually was. So I can see kind of like it taking a good couple of years for like, you know, a lot of people to see it. But I mean, it's got a good reaction, kind of, you know, as it's been released and as people are talking about it. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see that type of thing go forward. Yeah.
And what about yourself, Simon?
Yeah, I actually felt pretty much exactly the way that Luke felt. I saw the trailer for it and I thought it looked really bad, and I was like, I'm never gonna watch that film. It looks like a really, really light, easy, kind of like a pop film with very little edginess and darkness in it, and the ads as well, it wasn't really very well advertised as what the film actually was. So I feel like I think it's the type of film that it's been very well reviewed across the board, and most people who I've spoken to have kind of all expected it to be bad and have come out of the film and gone, wow, that's not the film that I was expecting. It was a fantastic film. So I think word of mouth will spread with it. I think it's one of those type of films that will take a bit of time, but I think as it builds up and more people tell their friends to kind of watch it, I think it will. I don't know if it'll ever be like a monster film, but it'll be one of them films that you'd probably watch like maybe every 4 or 5 years, and I think it'd be a film that has pretty good rewatchable value to it as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the spoiler free section right now, and then upon my signal we will jump into spoilers, so we're kind of dancing around what actually happens in the film right now. But yeah, I agree with those sentiments. To be honest, I think it's I personally try not to watch trailers of films now because I like the surprise element. So I really liked the surprise element of where this caught me, because even though I have seen the original, I'm very familiar with the original material and the kind of what was going to happen effectively. The actual way that Bradley Cooper directed it and how current it was, and also Lady Gaga's performance, it really was a revelation to me, and it caught me by surprise, like even on an emotional level. This is an incredible roller coaster, this film. Like, I was not expecting it once. Like you guys, I was kind of expecting perhaps a bit more fluff, but this was pretty gritty. I mean, it really did. It pulled very few punches, to be honest. And I think that was to the credit of Cooper. He could have But it's one of these things where I think maybe if you're kind of like in a couple and you go on a date night, then it would cover almost every single box pretty much that on sort of both levels, I think, because it wouldn't, it's not like a traditional rom-com with some music chucked in. It's not like a traditional musical. It just incorporates all these elements and treats them quite tenderly as well. And I think that was one of the things that I loved most about this film. I tell you what, let's jump into spoilers now. So just in case you haven't watched the film, then this is the point where you probably pause it, go watch the film, and then come back to us. And so, guys, what did you think? Where do we go to you first, Simon?
So overall, yeah, I was as I mentioned, I was expecting to be bad, and I think when you expect a film to be bad, it makes it even better when it's not. And that's not to say that the film was like a average film, but I found myself being fairly invested in it. But what I also thought, I liked it when the film finished, but I found myself thinking a lot about it for the next week or two, and I found that the more I invested in that and the more I kind of picked the film apart, the more I liked the film. So I was like, it's got a lot of depth in it, and I think as a person, I work in the music industry and I've been in bands for a long time, it definitely paints a much more realistic picture of what life is like in the band. It deals very well with the kind of darkness, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, and all of the kind of bad things that most people don't either know about or just ignore because they don't want to know about it. And it really kind of just hits on that, the kind of high when things are at their best and how bad things are when they're bad. So it really bounces back and forth between the extreme highs of being in a band and having a crowd and all of that, like the buzz, and then the actual horrible darkness that we see Bradley Cooper fall back into with drink and drugs, and he's obviously got severe depression. And he's bottled all of that stuff up, and it's kind of explored through his music as well.
And what about yourself, Luke?
I don't want to go over all ground, but I agree with Si in terms of, I think when you don't expect a film to kind of amount to much, or you know you're kind of watching it, maybe even you're not even watching it, you're kind of half on your phone, half watching it, but. And that's exactly what I expected, really. I didn't expect to come out of it, again, really thinking about it that much. But I think just from the first shot of him, like, going on stage, I think not to get too much into detail, but that first shot, I think, grabbed my attention, because, you know, it looks so good. It's so intriguing in terms of he takes a swig of his drink. Because, I mean, within the first 10 seconds, he has some pills and takes some drink. So, I mean, that's not coincidental. So ultimately, you're kind of thinking, I wonder what's going on here. Because I said I haven't seen the source material, the previous film. So I didn't have a clue what, you know, it was all new to me in a way. I kind of knew it was based on music ever so slightly. But other than that, I didn't know. And that first scene where he's walking on stage, it's like a massive crowd to a really well-lit, well-shot scene, kind of grabbed my attention straight away. And it like had me on side almost from there, whereas otherwise I was kind of nonplussed. I think that beginning was really, really like a good start for the film. But moving on, just to talk about the film in general, I think it was a complicated one to sum up, really. I thought it was excellent. I loved it, and I came away thinking about it again, you know, the day after, and then I saw it for a second time just to kind of take in, because it is like you said, it's such a roller coaster. I really didn't expect it to be so deep and so euphoric and then so upsetting, like all in one big 2-hour snowball essentially. But I loved the way that it was quite, I probably say, kind of Shakespearean in a way, because it was, you know, it was romantic, but also so like depth of despair, and like you say, it didn't pull any punches, which I thought was awesome. And obviously we'll move on to kind of like the end of the film, so I won't really touch on that too much. But I think that was a really good way, in my opinion, to kind of end. Obviously, that's what happens in the earlier films, but you just didn't expect that twist at all. And I just think that in general, it just caps off a really like captivating film, and I just loved it. I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah, I think you used a great word there, snowball, because it starts off and just gradually rolling down the mountain, then it picks up more and snow and then debris and twigs and trees and this and that. And once you get to about the 1 hour 45 minute mark, then bang, it just hits this brick wall and everything stops. And that's the point where I think what Bradley Cooper's in rehab at that point. And so the last kind of 15, 20 minutes really is kind of, it's uncomfortable to watch, to be honest. People were shifting around in their seats and didn't quite know what to do. And then it kind of goes into this real, you know, the depths of despair and like half the cinema's crying their eyes out and stuff. And it was incredibly emotional. But that first hour and 45 minutes, it does encapsulate a lot and very many different plot points and all these fascinating back characters as well. I mean, we'll get to those, but why don't we kick off with the two principal leads? So we've got Bradley Cooper as Jackson Maine. And so he's a famous country singer. And as you were mentioning, he's got an alcohol and drug addiction. How do you guys think he did? Why don't we go to you, Simon?
Good. I mean, I'm a massive big fan of him anyway. I didn't think that he had that in him. I mean, it's a pretty tough thing. I mean, acting, and then he's from the first time that he appears on stage, it's like he's in a band and you nearly don't think of him as a actor anymore. He's that person in the band. He kind of has just the way he's playing the electric guitar. He just, I don't know. I just was kind of like in the band with him. And I think how that first bit is filmed is it's all on him, and you don't really, it's not moving around to the rest of the band, which was quite a strange way of being filmed, but I thought that worked really well. And that just makes you think like it's not really about his band, it's just about kind of him. You know, he's the main person, he's the person who's gonna go through this huge roller coaster of a ride for the rest of the film. And I just think, yeah, I thought he just really got into the role very well. There's a lot of depth there, very emotional as well, and the direction was fantastic too. Especially that's the first film that he's ever done, and to be the lead in it as well. So I was very impressed by him. Yeah,
and Luke, what did you think of? What did you think of him kind of inhabiting a country singer? Because obviously he's not really from that scene, is he? I think he's a New Yorker or something.
Yeah, I think you would probably if you kind of went in there without knowing kind of who he was, anything like that, like where he was from, I do think you would imagine he was come from that like a lower South American. Southern United States area. I think he did really well. Because I don't think it was the character in general. He doesn't over egg, the character's personality. I compared him, on Twitter to, Hank Moody from Californication, which is like my favorite ever show, which kind of probably goes to show why I enjoyed this film so much. But he's quite like a, I wouldn't say like a flawed genius, but like a flawed artist, and he does quite arsey things throughout the series and then throughout this film, going back to the film. But he is charming, and I think you do get the idea that he's a good dude, he's a good guy, because some of like the blazing arguments or some of the things that he does in the film, I think if it wasn't played so perfectly by Cooper, I think you could easily come out of that film thinking that the character, you know, wasn't that sound. He was a bit of an arse. But that just, I think that does, all come back to, Cooper on that one, really, about being like kind of charming and flawed, but generally like a good guy, or, you know, for the character type thing. So yeah, I thought he did really, really well. I think it would have been really easy actually, because of some of like the demons that the character have got, to kind of throw it into like total despair, but it's always controlled in like quite a very human way, I think, with the character. It's never, you know, it's never kind of, the bottle's never fizzed up and exploded. It's always kind of like very human. You do feel he's quite real. I think you do empathize with the character, because you can see it could easily be, it could easily be a true story, really. So yeah, I think Cooper was really good as Jackson.
Yeah, I think one of the kind of principal scenes that stood out to me was, you know, when he was at the Grammys and he was supposed to be, performing in that tribute to Roy Orbison.
Yeah.
For me, that kind of encapsulated much of that film, because at that point he's teetering on the edge and you're really kind of worried about him and think, oh my God, what is going to go on here? He's already kind of been demoted for the newer, younger guy. And he's sort of wobbling on stage and shaking. He's clearly very drunk. And as soon as the music starts, as soon as he starts playing, he is just bang on point. And for me, it's kind of like the music always brings him back to himself. And so does Ali through the music and her own personality. And when he loses those things, then that's when he really loses himself, to be honest. And so for me, like, I think in terms of the direction, what he did really well is kind of, like you were saying with that opening scene, you see him pop a couple of pills, you see him drink, and then you see his hearing problems as well. They're like, look, please wear this thing in your ears, protect your hearing, and, you know, the ringing in his ears and stuff like that. And they managed to kind of hit those points in a very succinct way. But in terms of his narrative arc, I think he's slightly easier on the eye than the previous films, because I think they're kind of a bit more arsehole-ish in most of the previous films, whereas he's inhabited the male character and been a bit more kind of affable. And the thing that I like as well is that he's so nice to people. You know, like, people can be real dicks to music stars and be like, oh, you know, take a selfie and then, you know, blah, 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 and harass these people. But he's so easygoing, and he just, maybe it's that point of his career, because his best days are possibly behind him, in terms of creatively. And so he's just maybe a bit more respectful of, you know, the general public, or he's more accepting of his role and stuff like that. And then obviously he comes across Ali. So, I mean, let's talk about Lady Gaga as Ali. There have been a lot of like really raving reviews about her. I mean, Simon, what did you think of Lady Gaga as Ali?
I thought she was interesting. She has a very particular look about her, which worked quite well. And I think they definitely played that up as that she wouldn't be your kind of your traditionally attractive woman. That's not to say that she's not, but you know, they kind of had this whole thing, oh, no one ever looks at me that way. And she kind of, she blames her bad looks and her words on why she's never actually made it big in the music industry. And he's the first person to really pay any attention to her. So, I thought in that respect, that was a nice pick. I wasn't as blown away by her as some people were. I thought she, at times, she maybe lacked a little bit of emotion. But in a way that's also quite realistic as well. It wasn't that she was ever too over the top, and I felt that she seemed to be in control fairly well of the way that she felt and also what she wanted. Like when she starts kind of getting pushed in a more of a pop way, you never feel like that she's being forced into it. She's always like quite happy being that, and that's what she wants to have. And I just think that she just wants to be big. She wants the fame. And her voice was absolutely unreal in the film. That I didn't expect from her. I mean, I know that I wouldn't be her biggest fan, but her voice was incredible. And just when you watch it in the big screen and just fills the whole room, especially that one when she pops up on stage for the first time and he's like, you know, asking her up, and then she comes up and she's a little bit kind of holding back a bit, and then she bursts out and to that big bit at the end, and the camera kind of pans out and you get the whole view of the crowd and her voice just fills the room.
I've got goosebumps. I've got goosebumps. Yeah. When you're describing it right now. It's bringing it back to me.
That was a really like kind of, that's really high point. And I think that's what we've touched on a little bit, how that makes him feel like a normal person in a way. It's them things that he is constantly trying to find, and he wants to just live in those little pockets of space, and when he's not there he feels bad. And I think that she kind of becomes a kind of like what alcohol is for him, that's kind of her, and he wants her to be that person for her. And I like that she is independent enough to want to do her own thing and to not let him kind of talk her into being what, like, he, you know, like he'd always be like, oh, a person who's in a real band, they wouldn't write words like that, or they wouldn't play pop kind of songs. But she just is like, well, I want that. So
I mean, she's also in her 30s, isn't she? So like, time isn't on her
side. Yeah, she's younger, isn't she? Yeah.
But in terms, well, I mean, no, I mean, I think she's supposed to be like 31 in the film, and normally, you know, like the record labels try and pick these artists up when they're in their late teens or early 20s and stuff. So for her, like, time isn't necessarily on her side. So she's probably more open to just doing whatever it takes, really.
Fast tracking it, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even like the dynamic with her manager as well. I mean, Luke, what did you think of Lady Gaga as Ali?
Yeah, I thought she was really surprisingly good. But whether that should have been a surprise or not, I don't know, considering, I mean, everything that Gaga seems to have put her hands to seems to have been like a huge success, whether it's like writing or singing pop tracks. But yeah, I just thought she was really good. And I think in that term of when we said earlier about the film snowballing, I do feel like, whereas kind of Cooper comes into it like almost like the experienced actor, he just like takes the reins and cracks on from the very first scene. I do think she gets better the more she's given to play with. So, you know, at the start of the film, she's very much kind of not just the love interest, but I mean, you're introduced with Jackson, who goes on to kind of, you can tell there's something there between the two of them, but it's very much Jackson's film. And then as you go on and as she kind of develops and his star starts to fall, both Ali and Lady Gaga get given like a little bit more to work with. Like especially kind of from, obviously there's the music itself, which as we said, was, her voice is spectacular, but even up to kind of, I suppose even just before the rehab scene where they're having like that argument in the bathroom, and then the rehab scene, and then eventually at the end, the actual whole end kind of 20 minutes, where she's on her own. I think she really comes into her own in that area of the film. But I just think it really benefits from having the music benefits from someone who's kind of proven to be able to write hit songs. Whether it be kind of like the first few tracks that are more country based, I think it does help having like a legitimate like pop icon for kind of the last 15 years in that lead role. I just think she's really, really good. I wouldn't say anything bad about her, really.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the soundtrack, I mean, we are going to come to that. But just a quick one on that. I don't think she kind of wrote everything. She wrote certain bits of it, and then they also got Willie Nelson's son. I think his name's Lucas Nelson. So he wrote some of it. Mark Ronson, the producer, came in, and there was another songwriter, Hilary Lindsay. Oh, nice. It's things you don't quite realize. And, so, I mean, that's now available just to stream or buy. So it's quite interesting. I think there are two versions of it as well, the soundtrack. So you can get one where it kind of, it puts little clips of dialogue from the film in between songs, and then you can get one just no dialogue basically, so
just pure tunes.
Yeah, just pure tunes. So it's interesting. I'd love to know, like, obviously they probably will never divulge which one sells more, but it'd be quite interesting to know what people are really thinking of, because I guess one of them is more kind of, I guess, making you think more about the film itself, and one of them is separating the songs from the film. Like, I guess it just depends what kind of fan of the film you are. In terms of like my own thoughts on Lady Gaga and her performance. Well, I mean, I guess more the character of Ali. One takeaway that I didn't really see many reviews talking about it, but I just felt she was probably constantly let down by the men in her life, to be honest, because if you see, like, her father was constantly putting her down at the beginning, just saying, oh, you know, you'll never be like this, never be like that. You're not as good as this person or that person. And you can see her body language as she's doing the dishes, just shrinking, and she's just shrinking before your eyes. Yeah. And then in terms of Jackson does infuse her with this belief. And, you know, when she's just singing in the parking lot, he's just blown away. He falls in love with her, but he does fall in love with her voice as well, and her ideas and her songwriting. And then gradually, as she kind of becomes bigger, you know, he does become resentful. There's that scene where he smears the cream on her face or whatever it is. I think in the previous films, it's a lot more than that. Like they tone that down a lot more in this film. But also the manager that she has as well. The manager is that kind of typical, you know, and if you've worked in the music industry, he's that typical kind of like, he's not quite as slimy as you could get. But the interesting thing that I thought with him is that when he faces off with Jackson on his own, so they're just one-on-one, and he makes this little comment, and that's the comment that basically sends Jackson down this spiral and onto killing himself. And people don't really talk about that because obviously Ali's trying to build him up and build his confidence up and everything, and the manager just completely deflates him in one fell swoop. And I think that shows just how fragile Jackson Maine was, his character. So I just find it interesting, you know, in the modern day landscape where we are right now, women are constantly let down by men, and just in this film, the way that it does it is in a much more subtle way. It doesn't bag you over the head, but it's something that it kind of creeps into your thoughts. Okay, so the soundtrack, what did you guys think? Have you listened back to the soundtrack?
I have, yeah. I've listened to it quite a lot. I just had Shallow on repeat for, like, I don't know why. It's so, like, it's so euphoric, I suppose. But I think that's what kind of helps make it work as a film. The fact that, you know, they are songs. It's you know, it is, they're written, like you say, with all, like, the kind of the musicians and the producers that are involved. You know, that's what they're going for, legitimacy. They're not going for fluff, like we mentioned earlier. I think they are going for to try and create some, like, legitimate tracks that, like, people enjoy and kind of associate with certain sections of the film. And obviously that's, I mean, I think I imagine a lot of films do go for that, but they're all, as far as I know, like, original tracks for the film. So I think that's really interesting. And this kind of goes back to Lady Gaga a little bit. It reminded me slightly of, like, kind of this generation's, not in genre, but this generation's 8 Mile. With, like, obviously Eminem was, like, the breakout star. He was, like, a truly, like, global icon. And you know, that film was kind of, I suppose, kind of semi, probably almost entirely, biographical. But then he had a heavy hand in, like, what was actually the music in the film. He kind of got a lot of praise from that. So I kind of think in a little weird way, that's kind of like, there's a bit of a link there with Gaga being, obviously, like, that's been her first film role. And with the music and kind of being a true A-list kind of, you know, this isn't B-list or C-list. You know, they are entertainers. So I think, and I think the soundtrack does benefit from having, like, legit music people involved, because the music does kind of hold the film. I think the music's almost a main character. It's almost kind of like Ali, Jackson, and the music, and they all kind of dip in and out at certain points. And I really got that from the film as well. I think that's something I really liked.
That's a great point. I mean, for me, listening back to the actual soundtrack, it's funny. I actually thought I would love the soundtrack. As soon as I left the film, I was like, oh my God, please put the soundtrack on now. Cause I saw an advance of it. So I had to wait, like, I guess a week or so. And then when I listened back to the soundtrack, I don't know. It didn't grab me in the same kind of way as maybe thinking about the film did. Like, I think there are certain tentpole songs in there. Yeah. Like you were saying, like, Shallow, Always Remember Us This Way, I'll Never Love Again. But the one for me that really kind of grabbed me was Maybe It's Time. Maybe it's time, let the old ways die. And like that performance by Bradley Cooper, I think he was just, was that the one when he was just in that bar on his own with his guitar?
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
Oh, I loved that one. That was my, this is my jam from this soundtrack for sure. but also it kind of like, you know how you referenced 8 Mile? For me, it kind of really brought back The Bodyguard. Like there were these kind of like, these tonal shifts in the last song. The last song I think she did was I'll Never Love Again, and that really reminded me of I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston, and like even there are certain sort of melodies in it. I was like, when I was sitting there watching the film, I was like, is this Whitney or what? It's quite funny. So that must be a conscious thing. They could not have like just done that without thinking about it a little bit. So it's interesting how you can tie in the musical history of these films where you take a legit A-list music star and put them in a film, because it can go wrong. But Whitney Houston did a great job in The Bodyguard. Madonna's sort of tried over the years and in various successes and non-successes. And this, I mean, Lady Gaga's voice in the film itself is just absolutely incredible, isn't it? I mean, yeah, like, but also Bradley Cooper, I think Bradley Cooper does a good job as well. Like,
he's got a good voice.
He's got a very good voice. It's very appealing and it's easy on the ears as well. And I think, okay, I would never probably buy a Bradley Cooper album, but I mean, you know, in the same way that you would kind of maybe get to a Lady Gaga album, but it's definitely interesting. And I love what you said. It was like one of the main characters, the music is. And I can see this becoming more and more kind of like more of a snowball effect over the years as these songs kind of gradually infiltrate pop culture. I mean, let's just cover a few of the secondary characters because they do have crucial roles. There is Jackson's brother, and it's played by Sam Elliott, Bobby Maine. So, Simon, what did you think of Bobby?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I love him. He's a fantastic actor. I just thought he was like a perfect fit for that role. In most films he's in, he just has this perfect, cool kind of like this really good aura about him that he just makes me feel like warm inside whenever I see him on screen and hear him talking, that slow little kind of
drawl
that he has. I just think I'm always reminded of the Big Lebowski though whenever I see him in any film. But I thought he fit that role very well. He was kind of like Bradley Cooper's anchor in a way. He's the person who's been there for his entire life. He's pretty much like his dad. You know, he's we don't get the full backstory, but we get enough to kind of know that his dad was an absolute asshole anyway, and his brother, I think he went off to try and make a big as a musician himself. And obviously Bradley Cooper, he really looked it up to him a lot. And there's that bit in the film where he talks about how Bradley took his thing from him and kind of tried to be him, but he actually made it big. So there's definitely a bit of bitterness there in that way. I would have liked to have got a little bit more of that backstory, but maybe like the film wasn't really about him, but it definitely explains Bradley's alcoholic drug abuse and his kind of bastardry, if that's a word that I can use. And it definitely it's kind of enough
to see why he acts that way. But and then you find out that he did his dad hang himself as well, or did we find out what happened to his dad?
I can't remember.
Yeah, no, that was Bradley. That was Jackson Maine try to hang himself, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When he was
a
teenager. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, just jumping in, when him and Bobby have that moment in the car, and I think that must be the last interaction between them. That was the bit that got me, because I'd not cried up until that point, and then, oh my God, I just completely let go because I've got an older brother. And it was just like, that just completely got me. Up until that point, I was rock solid. but in terms of, the only criticism I've had is, I kind of needed subtitles a little bit when Bobby spoke, because he's got that beautiful droid. But I was like, sorry, dude, I just kind of missed that little, could you just rewind what you just said? This is why I always put subtitles on when I'm watching anything at home, basically. So. Luke, was there anything else that any of the other characters that side characters, maybe Dave Chappelle or Andrew Dice Clay, or
I found the manager an unusual one, an unusual character. I thought he was good, and obviously he plays quite like you mentioned before, plays quite a big hand in actually how the film turns out, because I think that was the first point where I thought. I didn't know that it would go, the film would go on to see Jackson kill himself. I just kind of thought like maybe he'd either leave or maybe they'd just be happily ever after. But I think when you can see the reaction of Jackson to the manager saying, you know, it's always going to be, always something else is going to come up and I won't let you ruin a career essentially or life. I think you can see on his face that something's going to happen. Obviously he had to bring it all together, but I kind of felt he was a little bit like the kind of like a bit of a pantomime bad guy. It just didn't sit that well with me in terms of the tone of the film. But I really liked Dave Chappelle's character. I think that was like not necessarily comic relief, but that whole scene where kind of he picks Jackson up from the side of the curb and you find out that like it's just that whole really like a light little like kind of not even comic relief but like slight comic relief, and then you find out like a bit of a backstory to like them knowing each other, and like you almost see that like Jackson has got one old friend who can kind of semi rely on to pick him up from a drunken stupor, and then that whole like scene where they get married, I think it's just like really sweet. Like it fits in really well with the film. And again, they don't over dramatize it. It's kind of just a bit of like a semi montage, isn't it really? But I love the role that Dave Chappelle has in that. It's kind of a bit of acting, but it's kind of almost him just kind of moving the story on a different route slightly. So I thought that was a really awesome character. I really enjoyed that. And yeah, I think Bobby was a really good character. It was acted really well. You almost thought like he is a tour manager. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's what you imagine kind of like old rock stars to have like tour managers such as that. And I think he is very sweet. And the bit where, like, obviously there's the two scenes I think that are quite important. There's obviously the end one, which again, just like absolutely broke me because you also kind of feel like, weirdly, that was going to be the last time they spoke, even if you didn't quite know what was happening, the way that happened, and then he kind of turned back and pulled away in the car, and you could like see Bobby's face. I think you did get the hint that that wasn't just a normal, a normal scene, I think, really. But the other scene that there is when they argue first. So like Jackson comes in, punches him when he finds out Bobby sold his father's ranch, and then you get the bit where he's saying, how am I meant to keep track of that when I'm babysitting your ass, I think he says. And I think it's nice to not just have him be like, a kind of almost an extra character. There's like a real emotional depth to like that relationship, especially with the stealing. I think he says, doesn't he, that he stole his voice. And I just think like, although it's a film for like the main characters, I think you wouldn't have had it move on half as well, almost with the amount of like almost quite dark content, if it hadn't have been for like the few extra characters that work really well.
Yeah, in terms of the dark content, I mean, the other kind of thing we really need to reference, because again, we're in 2018 right now. One of the themes of the past year has been the mental health of men, because it's been swept under carpet for such a long time. And I think this film really brings it front and center, because clearly, okay, you know, you could separate it and say, well, Bradley Cooper plays a rock star, and, you know, this is just what rock stars have traditionally done. You know, you get ones who kind of burn out, or ones who kill themselves, and or get addictions or this or that. It's just their personality traits, and that's what makes them great or fuels them. But then you can argue completely different things. But in terms of the mental health aspect of it, he's had a tough upbringing, and he tried to commit suicide as a teen, but I really liked how the film didn't shy away from it, and it didn't shy away from the ultimate conclusion of it. Right. Which, I mean, what did you guys think? Do you think there has been some criticism? Because, I mean, I personally didn't think that the film glamorized his death scene in any way, shape or form. But some people have said, well, they shouldn't have put it in there because, you know, this could trigger people or this or that. Or I mean, how do you think the entire kind of the whole thing was handled, really?
I didn't think anything in terms of like the triggering aspect. I actually thought I think it's refreshing to have kind of that type of ending. I mean, I was very surprised that was how the film ended in terms of Jackson taking his life. I am glad that it didn't shy away from that, but I don't think it did glamorize it. I think because it's done very classily. I think the shot is of his like midriff, isn't it, or like kind of like upper legs, and you see like I think you see the belt, and you kind of see him stumbling around slightly, and then there's obviously the bit where he kind of puts the hat down, which is kind of a weirdly emotional, but other than that, you kind of just see the shot of the garage, and then obviously the dog walks up and sits down. I just think all of the extra kind of extracurricular shots, if you like, were really hard hitting. The dog sitting down, the hat putting down. Obviously, there's the sirens of the police cars, isn't it? Like, I think that it lights the home up at the end. That brings it together. So if you didn't understand what was happening, essentially, obviously you did then when you saw the ambulance and the police cars. But I think it was done really quite, I don't know if the word's classily, but definitely with like dignity. I don't see it having dramatized it at all. Because it happened, I suppose it kind of happened for a reason. It wasn't like a big showbiz death. We didn't see the death really, did you? It's all just hinted at until the end. I liked it. I found it weirdly refreshed that it went there, if you like. Because I think, again, I mean, now it could have easily not gone there, or it could have easily left it to kind of your own interpretation, which obviously would have been interesting, but it was a bold move for Cooper, you know, I suppose, and the writing team in general, for that to be like his first kind of big film, or his directorial debut. So I think it was brave, interesting, and also, and quite a dignified move, to be honest with you.
Yeah. What did you think, Simon?
Yeah. I didn't think it was, I thought it was the right pick. I didn't feel like it was making that, that would make people think that that's what they should also do. Like, I felt like throughout the film, his kind of, like, the bad things about him, they were kept pretty kind of hidden and at bay. Mm-hmm. As we talked about, he never really kind of had these, there's only one or two points where things got really, really bad, but most of the time he seemed to be pretty okay at hiding things, or he thought he was anyway. And I think that's a very realistic thing. And I think the way that it affected Ali, for me anyway, it would make me not want to live that life. I mean, you can tell she was mad about him, that even though he put her through hell, there was always that little bit of hope, and like, you know, maybe one day he won't need that anymore, and he can find a way to be happy without them things. But I don't think that day was actually ever really there for him. And the interesting thing is, my whole opinion on the very end of this, that I think, as you mentioned, that thought about when he has the talk with Ali's manager, I actually felt that was the point that pushed him as well, and that if that talk wasn't a thing, I don't think he would have went that far. But I think most people think that he was kind of on that path, and no matter what. And I think that he loved her that much that he thought, if I'm not here, her life will be better. So by me not being here, it's the best thing for her. And that was what really kind of, you know, hit me hard. And I think that's a thing that you hear when people take their own life. They think that it's the best thing, and they don't realize how much that will actually affect all the people that they love the most. So it was a very, I think for the film, it didn't feel like that was one step too far, or that it made, or that it would make people think, oh, I want to be in a band and get off my face and it's got to be the best thing in the world. I think people are probably like, actually, that seems like a really bad way to live. You know, I don't want, you know, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of my thinking of it anyway.
Yeah, I think the way that that Bradley Cooper set the film up is that you've got these various landmines, and every now and then you'll sort of, you know, go left and then one will blow up, and then go right and one will blow up. And then afterwards you're thinking about things. There's a lot to absorb in just one viewing. And, you know, I mean, we haven't even mentioned the scene. So I mentioned the Roy Orbison tribute thing at the Grammys, but then like straight after that, you know, when Ali wins the Best New Artist thing, he goes on stage and wets himself publicly and passes out. And that's what triggers everything and triggers him to join the rehab program. And, you know, that's where he kind of really faces his demons. And like, I think it's a great point, because you don't know which way he's going to go at that point. There's nothing to say that he would have gone straight back on that path. Whichever path, he could have gone back on the path to self-destruction. He could have gone on a path to suicide. He could have gone on a path where he really kind of got his life back together and controlled himself and got control of his demons. We just don't know. But it's, you know, that little thing that the manager says is probably the one thing that really popped his balloon and just really kind of made him lose control. I mean, certainly within the context of the film, we can only speculate about everything else. You know, it's just a mystery. But I just think, it's fascinating, because frequently, you know, I'm going to guess that we all know someone who's killed themselves. Maybe, I mean, I certainly do. And the one thing you wonder is just like, okay, why did they do it? That's the first thing everyone says is, why did they do it? Why did they do it? And there can be so many different reasons. It could be one reason. It could be an amalgamation of different reasons. And I think that's what you kind of, the whole point of this film from his narrative arc is building to that logical conclusion, and then it kind of, you know, it does set up a lot of different things. And even the way that he kills himself is him trying to reenact the way that he tried when he was a teenager by hanging himself. Yeah. And I think he said that, you know, it was a funny story the way he told it originally, that he did it and broke the ceiling fan and his dad didn't notice for 6 months, you know, or something. But like when he's a teenager, he tries and he fails. But when he's a huge star, he tries and he succeeds. And, you know, that's the sort of tragedy of it. And I mean, I don't think we've really given enough, like, as a final point to Ali's narrative arc, where she goes from this, you know, from very humble beginnings of someone who's trying to write songs. And, you know, she has like a sort of, you know, cabaret act and that's it really. And it's blind luck that she does get discovered, because most artists don't, you know, like the odds are really lottery, like for her to actually have got discovered by a big star and then to get invited onto stage by him. It's a complete, you know, it doesn't really reflect what the music industry's like, but the whole title is A Star Is Born. And for her, she is the star of this show, and her star rises, and her narrative arc is fascinating, even as other people keep messing it up effectively. And I don't know. I just like, I mean, we haven't really talked about hers enough, but what did you guys think as like a final point really about Ali's narrative arc?
We absolutely haven't like spoken enough, I think, about her arc. Just because I suppose the more, especially as people who maybe necessarily didn't know what to expect going into the film, the more shocking and more interesting thing is obviously Bradley Cooper's character. But Ali's is just as interesting in a way. I mean, from where she starts out to like, I mean, even like literally the last scene, so where she's gone from, I suppose, like you say, cabaret act in like a drag bar where the drag queens like love her singing. Like she even says, doesn't she? I think, they just like, they beg me to sing. They love me to be here, to people begging her to sing and loving her to be on actual on stage in front of, like, you know, thousands of people, to like the last scene where it's almost like she's gone kind of back to her original state. She shed, like, I think she shed, like, the orange hair. She's, like, kind of not gone back to basics, but gone back to, like, low key. And that arc of, I mean, the last scene where, like, it just looks like straight into her eye. It's just, I think that shot is amazing. Like, by the way, I think that as soon as that happened, the credits fell. I just thought it was a really lovely shot. But her arc, there's kind of not loads to talk about, because it kind of is an arc, isn't it? Like, you kind of would expect a star is born. You expect a star to be born. But she always, I think you can tell even from when Jackson's character, like wets himself on stage, she doesn't, you know, she doesn't boot off. She, like, protects him. She puts him in the shower. She looks after him. She, you know, takes him to rehab. I think she always, that character from the very beginning, always loves Jackson. And I think that's really nice, because even though they have that argument where she's kind of saying, oh yeah, do you want me to be your next drinking buddy? That's quite aggressive. But all the way through the film, she doesn't change her personality too much. She's always kind of trying to get back to what she is, where she, you know, I think she even tells her manager, you know, this isn't me, or this shot doesn't look like me, or just before she finds out about the Grammy, she says the images don't look like her. And I think that's an interesting story in itself. But like you say, she's getting older in terms of, like, I suppose, like, pop star royalty, if she's going to get there. But I think she just goes with the flow with a few things, and maybe at the end when she sheds that pop skin, does she regret that? I don't know. I'd love to hear what you guys thought, to be honest.
Yeah, Simon, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought she had a very unique arc in that there's this whole kind of people who, like, I think Jackson Maine is from the more kind of old school thought where you write your songs from the, like, from a very personal spot, and it's kind of about what you have to tell the world, and the art's the most important thing, and things like, you know, outfits and hair and ads and all that aren't what's important. And she kind of has the opinion that, well, actually for her, that's not the way her, like, art for her is more of the full thing. It's so, like, I think she looks at, you know, pop as not being a bad thing, and he's like, oh, you're a fucking pop star, you're writing all these really bad words, and what is it that these words mean? But he never understands that that's what she wants, and that actually, like, doing all these different outfits, and maybe, I don't know, I think it's interesting because most people, that would be a bad thing, but for her, she just likes to, I think she just wants the fame, she wants to have people around her who like her and hear her voice, and she likes to write and be involved in everything, and you don't ever feel that she's being forced one way. And as Luke mentioned, when there's things that she's not mad about, she kind of be like, oh, I actually don't really like that. And then at the very end, when she wants him to be on the tour, and she basically says, well, either he's on the tour or I'm not on the tour. So I think she's very strong and independent, and I feel very bad for her, because I think that in a way Jackson is bad for her, you know, like, I think he's the person who's holding her back in a way, but he thinks it's her, but he, you know, he's the one who kind of wants to mold her into this kind of, into a more old school type of person who's more about the art and beauty and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of a funny little twist on what would be the normal kind of, it's bad to be in pop and it's better to be artsy and to write from, you know, to write words that have meaning, as opposed to, what's that one that she had about her boyfriend or something, or there's or about the ass.
Yeah, remember? Poppy one, wasn't it?
Yeah. So it's kind of, I thought that was interesting, and I thought she, she was just a. It was a very unexpected arc for her, I thought, and I think you do feel bad for her because she is being dragged down by her dad. You know, there's all that past as well, and the manager is trying to put her into a box, and she's kind of a little bit okay. So, the only like slight problem that I maybe had was I thought that her rise to fame did happen very fast, but I mean,
yeah,
you know, like she was kind of like there, and then she's on SNL, and you're like, holy shit, that no, that's a pretty big step, and she's winning awards and stuff. But I mean, it's a film, and they can't really, you know, it would take way too long for them to actually go through a realistic timeline and that kind of thing. So
I mean, the only way to justify that is because Jackson Maine has kind of co-signed her in such a very public way. And then she's, you know, his girlfriend, and, you know, she's got a leg up into the music industry through him directly, really, because if it hadn't been for him, then she would have been probably languishing in the lower leagues of music industry, and or not even that, to be honest. I think the other thing is that they come from very different backgrounds. You know, he comes from wherever it is, I don't know, Texas or wherever it is or something, or the South, you know, that kind of very country and Western era. And also, like you said, like the old school mentality, whereas she, you know, you see where she's hanging out in, you know, the drag bar and, you know, traditionally, like the gay community have, you know, their roots in a very accepting way. They take all different kinds of music and amalgamate it into one, or, you know, there are very few restrictions. So for her, she's kind of like, probably, well, why should I restrict myself? You know, and he probably doesn't get it. And also, you know, she's bang on point in terms of the trends of the modern industry, the music industry rather. So, whereas for him, everything he's doing is probably was a huge hit like maybe 20 years ago or something like that. So, you know, he's obviously successful and touring, but it's a very different element to actually kind of, you know, what's hot in the charts right now. So, you know, I don't know. It's very interesting to see the sort of dichotomy between the two and how they kind of like antagonize one another on a musical level as well, but also how they come together and create gold. So there's those two elements kind of dueling constantly through the film. I mean, just as a couple of final points, was there anything that you think didn't work in a particularly overt way?
Anything that didn't work? I say the manager. I think the manager did work, but I think he came over kind of very caricaturely. You know, I think he was kind of like the evil villain, I suppose, of the whole piece. And you got that from early doors. I think the very British accent gave it away a little bit. but that worked and didn't. Like, I just wasn't a fan of that. And I also think the Grammy scene, not the performance scene with Jackson, I thought that was like actually quite sick. I quite liked it because you saw him fall down. And actually, when he picks himself back up again, he just riffs. Like, you know, it sounds awesome. I think it's the scene when, obviously, when he does wet himself, and it kind of felt a little, I don't know, a little out of tune with the film, a little, not crude, but just a little bit much, really, as like a trigger for what was about to come next. Cause as you said, that was like, you know, that was the point, wasn't it? That was like almost like the peak. It was all downhill from there. It didn't sit too well with me, but again, it wasn't bad. I just wasn't a huge fan.
How about yourself, Simon?
It's hard to pin it down because, like, I guess the couple of issues I had was I thought that she was just Ali was just she's just sometimes lacked a little bit of emotion, and I just sometimes found it hard to understand why she was still with him at times. Like there's just times when I just didn't really feel that they had this like kind of never ending love for each other, if you know what I mean. It wasn't that it was bad. It's just there's a few little times when I just got pulled out a little bit. And I just thought, well, why is she still putting herself through all of this for him? And it didn't have that kind of, you know, cliched romance that like they're like the best fit in the world, like, because they weren't a very good fit. So I just would have liked a little bit more depth. But I mean, she's not an actor. I think she actually did study acting apparently, but I just felt like if that was the person who had maybe a little bit more experience as a actor, it would have just come through a little bit clearer. But it wasn't that bad. And a few of the tracks, a couple of the pop songs weren't really my bag, but that's okay. I don't think they're really aimed at me anyway. So that's not really much of a problem, I guess. That's just more of a personal thing.
Yeah, I mean, for me, there wasn't much that didn't work. I think the way that I sort of viewed them with Lady Gaga's character, well, Lady Gaga as an actress, is it was a little bit music video-y at times, but I think that was necessary because, you know, she hasn't got the ultimate, she's not a Meryl Streep or something, do you know what I mean? She's like, in terms of her experience of leading films, this is her first lead film. So I think they had to perhaps, there were kid gloves there in the way that they directed her. I think that was probably a wise decision. I mean, we haven't really mentioned it, but there was quite a troubled development of this. You know, originally it was supposed to be Clint Eastwood, and then Beyonce was supposed to be the actual Star is Born character. And then she got pregnant, and then it was, you know, there was this cavalcade of different actors who were supposed to be in it. And finally, I think it was about 3 years ago or so, Bradley Cooper kind of sort of just grabbed hold of it and wanted to direct it. So I do find it interesting the way that it's all come together. And I don't know. I can't really imagine like Beyonce or whoever else involved, but then I guess you never really can. Yeah. I mean, we need to start wrapping it up. So, what were your scores out of 10 for this, Luke?
I was a really big fan. Like I just absolutely like film of the year, loved it. So I'm going to say like an 8. I'm going to say an 8. Yeah.
Okay. And Simon,
are we going for, what are you going for here? Halves or holes?
Oh, you can do like 8.3 or 7.98 or whatever. Seven and a half. Okay. For me, my immediate thoughts when I left the film, I think it's probably like an 8.4 or something like that. Thinking back on it, I'm probably more like maybe about 7.9, if we're going to be super precise about it.
Very, very precise.
Wow. So we are going half then.
Oh, no, we're going like full pitchfork. We're going to go in decimal points, you know. So, I think so. It's the only way. Okay, so I think that just about wraps us up. Guys, if you just want to shout out, if you've got any shout out for yourself or like social medias or this or projects or anything like that coming up?
No, just if you care about what I say, I'm on Twitter, LR Scandley. you honestly may not care about what I say. But yeah, it'd be nice to have a chat. And if you've seen the film, let's talk about it. And that'd be really nice.
And yeah, so, this is the first pod I've done in a little bit. I'm normally on the fantasy football pod, but you can find me on Twitter at Hefty Horse.
nice handle. Good one.
It's a weird one, yeah.
I'm just triggered by your fantasy football reference because I'm just terrible right now. My season is just going from bad to worse, and I just don't even want to think about it right now.
That's a pod plug right there.
Even want to think about it right now. Okay, so you can find me on Twitter at JesselTV. That's JESALTV. So I'll be moving forward as the host of this Movie Night podcast. So thanks to Gags. And this has been us with A Star Is Born. So take care, everyone, and catch you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.